You're listening to the Humans of DevOps podcast, a podcast focused on advancing the humans of DevOps through skills, knowledge, ideas, and learning, or the SKIL framework.
I would probably say, if you're considering it, jump in and be confident in how you'll land. And look, it's not for everyone, and I get that, and I respect it. But if you're considering it, do it.
Hey everyone, it's Jason Baum, Director of Membership at DevOps Institute, and this is the Humans of DevOps podcast. And this week, I'm very excited. I'm excited every week, but this week I'm especially excited because I'm chatting with a friend of mine. We could say we're friends, right, Brandon?
100%.
Okay, Brandon Durbin. And Brandon is a tech entrepreneur, investor, and advisor, the founder and CEO of Akava, a Silicon Valley software engineering consultancy that helps startups and enterprises such as Disney, Oracle, L Brands, Cisco, Uber, perhaps you heard of them, build innovative cloud, DevOps, web, and mobile solutions. He's also part of the DevOps Institute family, proudly serving as the inaugural committee chair for the Silicon Valley chapter, as well as chairing the organization's membership committee, which we are starting. He's exceptionally passionate about increasing diversity in tech and volunteers as a mentor for Build.org and Co2040. He is an avid sports fan and enjoys traveling the world while indulging in local cultures and cuisines, which we could talk all day about because we've done that in the past. So, are you ready to get human?
Let's get human, Jason.
Awesome. Awesome. And,
to take a step further of the friendship, I was thinking about this last night. We are totally kindred souls in respect to food, sports, and definitely culture. So yeah, I loved the relationship we've built. I'm super excited to see what we're going to do here in the future.
It's exciting. It's exciting when I get to meet people who are passionate about volunteering. That's probably the first thing that I get excited about, because I think it takes a unique type of person to want to say, I'm going to devote 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours a month on something, and I'm not going to get paid for it. And it's purely because I enjoy it and I enjoy what it means. So I think that says a lot, about who you are when you're willing to step up and do something like that.
Yeah, 100%. So I'm not sure if you've ever read Blue Ocean Strategy, but it's the whole notion around give to get to give, right? And that mentality, I read that years ago, and that has been incredibly sticky with me ever since. And so, yeah, that's one of my biggest drivers to volunteer.
I think I read something similar by the Berenstain Bears. It's called Kindness Counts. And I think I read that to my daughter frequently. So what we wanted to talk about today, we're going to talk more about that volunteering and community aspect, because I know it's something that's passionate, that you're passionate about, I'm passionate about, and also the San Francisco chapter of DevOps Institute. But first, I wanted to dive into being an entrepreneur, because you are an entrepreneur, you are a self-starter, you are an investor, advisor, you kind of do it all. You're young, and I am fascinated by people who have that mindset as well, because that's basically saying, I'm going to go do double the work, pull all my hair out. I'm bald now, so and I could be making double working for someone else for half the hours. So what is it about being an entrepreneur that is so exciting for you?
Yeah, Jason, first, thanks for calling out that that I'm young. That means a lot, simply because I don't feel it anymore. And, approaching mid-30s here, and my girlfriend definitely makes me aware that I'm no longer young. So thank you for calling that out.
Hey, it's all relative. It's all relative.
Yeah, thanks so much. In terms of, like, entrepreneurship, for me, Jason, I've been a guy that's always colored outside the lines, and I've struggled fitting into the corporate world, so to speak. I'm not a good corporate soldier. I'm not. And I realized that early on, and I wanted to kind of take that leap of faith. So, like, taking a step back, give me some historical background on how Akava came to be. I was running a large Silicon Valley software engineering consultancy that I was brought on to run technical alliances and strategic partnerships that ultimately led to growth. That was super successful, so much so that I was elevated to partner level, effectively being the COO, building out a nice 10-plus person team. And what was interesting is I got caught in between a pretty gnarly founder's quarrel, where one founder was doing all the work and the other founder was nowhere to be found. And the reason that kind of transpired was because when they brought me on, it was really to figure out the enterprise. They were historically working with like startups. And the problem with startups is they're hyper demanding. They want things yesterday, and they oftentimes don't have money to pay for it, right? So they brought me on to figure out the enterprise. I did successfully by way of alliances and partnerships. And as a result, it kind of cannibalized one of the founders who focused really on front-end UI UX type work. And what enterprises really cared about and what was super sticky that we were providing was a lot of that DevOps-y infrastructure as code automation, everything type work. And so again, one founder was doing all the work, the other founder was not doing anything. It got so bad that like on Slack, that one founder who was MIA would never respond during the day, but thought it was okay to post on his Instagram stories in the music studio at 3 a.m. as if people on his team didn't follow him. So naturally, that created a lot of friction within the organization. It was a massive culture killer. We all three came to the table, and I said, "You guys need to talk because your team is coming to me, totally concerned. And I think a lot of people are at flight risk if we don't resolve this quickly." And that led to, "All right, I think we just need to sell the company. So Brandon, can you take the company through acquisition?" And I was candidly, I was kind of excited for several reasons, one of which it killed this friction that existed, right? Two, it gave me the opportunity to actually take a company through acquisition. So within that, in the next 9 months, I was able to go through the process, the dog and pony show, create our perspectives, source deals, negotiate terms, all the way where we landed on three letters of intent. And from that point, you know, I was able to bring in our attorney and our business broker, and we were able to execute a pretty interesting deal with the acquiring company. Now, while all that is going on, in my heart of hearts, Jason, I knew I wasn't going to go to the acquiring firm, even though I was the one leading it. And in that process, this is kind of how Alcable was born. It was a, call it a multifaceted orchestration effort. So while I'm trying to sell the company, my former company, behind the scenes, I'm talking to a couple of the core engineers that I know that were heavily utilized, heavily sought after. People love them. They're great client facing. And they were just software polyglots. You know, consulting is all about utilization at the end of the day. And so, you know, me having an operational lens looking downward, I could pretty much cherry pick on who I thought would be interesting to potentially port over. And so I approached like 13, 14 of them. And ultimately, it was like a resounding yes. 12 came with me. And I told them what I would do different. I made vows of commitments on how, you know, what a cable would be is totally going to be a 180 culturally from what they were just experienced, because I know they kind of had some PTSD as a result of what was going on. So that was like orchestration level one. Level two became, okay, let me go talk to some of these enterprise clients. You know, you mentioned them on the intro there. They were Oracle, Disney, NASDAQ, Uber. And I know a couple, T-Mobile is another really big one. And I spoke with all of these guys and I told them what I was thinking about doing. I said, "Hey, look, you know, we've done some really cool work with you guys. Here's what's going on behind the scenes. It's effectively the same band, different brand. Obviously, we're dissolving Must Win. So I know we have to redo the legalese and the MSAs, but I just want to be transparent with you what's happening. When that happens, will you come with me? Can we still engage? And it was a resounding yes as well. So that was a huge stress relief. And then the third component of that orchestration effort was talking to the founders of the acquiring company. And that was tricky. And that, you know, I had a heavy heart with that one because I built a really cool relationship with both the founders and the CTO. They wanted me to come on and serve as kind of like an overlay between all of them and like a chief of staffy role focused on strategic initiatives. I became really, really close with the CTO. Within that, I said, hey, I need to take you to drinks. We got to talk. After a couple bourbons, I just broke the news. I said, hey, man, I got to be honest. I won't be able to go to, I won't be able to be part of the acquisition. And here's why. Here's what I'm thinking about doing. Friend to friend, I really appreciate your feedback and more importantly, your support. And so he said, dude, hey, let's order another one of these. Cheers. I'll tell you what. One, super proud of you. Two, super excited for you. And three, can I be your first client? And so that was just a weight put off my shoulders, totally. So in January 2019, Acaba was born. And we are off to the races. But as mentioned, it took some time with these enterprise clients to actually turn them into, you know, revenue generating, because we had to go through the MSA process. And as everyone knows, that in enterprise organizations takes a ton of time. So yeah, year one, man, turbulent as hell. Turbulent as hell. It's one of those things, Jason, you brought up an interesting point. You said, you know, working for corporations, it's predictable, you know, and that's what I would say there. Year one is crazy because I had this overhead with full-time employees, and I have to make sure they're all fed, period. And of course, I grew close with their family, so I had that extra level of responsibility on my shoulders that I'm like, I have to make this work. And you know, as it turns out, leaders do eat last.
Yeah.
That was like one of the first lessons learned in my first foray into entrepreneurship. But then fast forward, you know, everything has started to stabilize. It takes a ton, like an exorbitant amount of effort, not only to erect the mast, but to get the sail up and then get wind behind the sail. That is a story that I, and a lesson I will never, ever forget. And I will never, that will never be lost on. So now, yeah, we are in hyper growth mode. Those aforementioned clients we've secured, we've acquired new clients, we've established new strategic partnerships with SIs and other tech vendors. So we're growing like crazy. The DevOps space is on fire in the most positive way. There's a huge need in the market for us. And that's really what is exciting us.
And how many years are you into it now?
So unofficially 3, officially 2.5. What okay. I mean, the unofficial part was just behind the scenes, getting everything together, moving towards the launch.
Right. Yeah. I just call out how smart it was to do this over bourbon. Because I think that's another strategic move on your part. You know, what the thing that I think is so great about you, Brandon, and is the fact that you are very personable and you make you forge relationships, and I think that's probably why you're so good with the community building side, and probably what made you interested in getting involved there.
Yeah, thank you for that, Jason. I appreciate it. And that's it. I think by default, I've always been like a connector. And it's less about, and I think people, not to say like salespeople and their mission is wrong, but my view on growth is like, how can I help you? Like, what's your mission? Same thing when you and I first spoke, Jason. It's just like, so your goal is to do X, Y, Z. I love what DOI is doing. How can I help? What can I do? How can I leverage my interest, passion, and network to bring this thing to life? And that's just part of my view on it. And that's still in business today. It's more, it's less what can we do for you, but how can I help you? What's your mission? And how can we bring that to life?
Are you looking to get DevOps certified? Demonstrate your DevOps knowledge and advance your career with a certification from DevOps Institute. Get certified in DevOps Leader, SRE, or DevSecOps, just to name a few. Learn anywhere, anytime. The choice is yours. Choose to get certified through our vast partner network, self-study programs, or our new SkillUp e-learning videos. The exams are developed in collaboration with industry thought leaders and subject matter experts in the DevOps space. Learn more at devopsinstitute.com/certifications.
Yep, that's awesome. So we found out how the company was built. Thank you for walking that. That was a great story. I hadn't heard that one. So this is I'm learning just like you are at home or in the car, wherever you're listening to podcasts. And so now let's go back further. Let's take it back. I don't know. I always like to ask, like, when did you know that tech or, because DevOps wasn't, a field. I mean, maybe it was called something different, but, when did you know tech was somewhere that you wanted to be, that space? And if you talk to Brandon for more than 5 minutes, he'll tell you he's from Ohio State. So I think they have to, if they're from Ohio State, they have to declare that they're from the Ohio. No. So can we go back maybe to when did you know tech was for you?
Fascinating story on that one. I stumbled into tech. What I mean by that, at Ohio State, I did hospitality management because a lot of my older friends said, hey, this college is a party. The hospitality management program is a party. And being young and dumb, I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds good. But then being practical, I'm like, well, I need to get my business management degree within Fisher, which is like a top 25 program nationally. And so what I thought I wanted to do, Jason, was like, go back to Hawaii and manage a resort, right? And do that whole thing. And nothing like
that. That sounds really nice to me.
It does. But now fast forward, it's like, would I rather be making sure other people at my resort have a good time, or would I rather be the person at the resort? Right. So yeah,
good call.
I'm glad this happened this way, but effectively what happened when I was graduating, we were coming out of the recession and people were still super sensitive with their discretionary funding, which of course is traveling. And with that, the hospitality and tourism industry was still trying to get their bearings back. As such, there's a crazy amount of layoffs, middle management were just not demoted, but just taking lower roles just to have a job. That created a blocker for young guys like myself at the time coming out of college to get into the industry. So I was working at like a luxury high rise in Columbus, and it was intentional. I was running like operations there, which had like valet and concierge and partnering with HOA. At any rate, it was kind of a strategic move in the sense that that building had a lot of like high net worth individuals. And so I wanted to position myself to, talk to these people. As it turned out, one of the guys I became really, really chummy with ran a tech consultancy. And he said, what are you doing working here? can I take you to dinner? And I said, yeah, of course. And at dinner, he kind of laid out the roadmap of, what he does, what he's trying to do, and what my interests are. At the time, Jason, I was the guy that lied about being proficient in Excel. That's how technically inept I was. Fast forward, I decided to join his company, thrusted me into a biz dev role, less like strategic alliances, but more partnerships and some client management, if you will. And it was at that time where I'm like, oh shit, tech is hot. And so I became obsessed. I had subscriptions like Inc., Fortune, Fast Company, Post, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, physical magazines. And they're mailed to the office. And every day when I received one, I flipped to the tech section and I would maniacally read about all the cool things that are happening in tech, right? And I was with that company for the first 2.5 years. It served as a launch pad. This is really cool how this all weaves together. I effectively outgrew that company. The gentleman who brought me on gave me a chance in tech. We had a heart to heart, and he said, look, you've outgrown this outfit and I support you any way possible. And he's my first boss, mentor, and father figure at the time, if you will. And he's like, you need to soar. And however I can support that, I'm here for it. And also, whatever you get into out there in San Francisco, because I told him over dinner that I was packing up and leaving. By the way, I didn't have a job. I didn't have a place to live. I packed up a TV, a suitcase, a fork, because I thought that was important.
You're not going to be able to find a fork wherever you go. Yeah. You're going to a forkless area of the country.
right, for sure. And I set sail, man, and I took off. But my boss at the time was like, hey, whatever, you know, if you get into anything, you want an investment, just, you know, let's stay in touch. And, you know, as I previously mentioned on how Lakeva was born, during that process, I reached out to him. I said, here's what's going on. Moreover, would you be interested in being my co-founder? And so fast forward from that point to when Lakeva was born, you know, eight years elapsed between there. And what was my first boss, who gave me a shot in technology and served as my mentor, ended up being my co-founder 8 years later. So,
wow.
Awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, came full circle.
That's so cool. Yeah, you're a risk taker, I would say, huh?
Yeah. You know, I think entrepreneurship is like 70% like overconfidence, 20% ignorance, and 10% like naivety. And, you know, using a sports reference, it's funny. I had all this confidence in the world. This is how it's going to happen. Here's the playbook. Here's the vision. And of course, that's not how that works, right? It's, you know, it's not linear. It's spiral. And often there's, you know, as many downs as there are ups, especially, you know, starting one. But the goal is to have more ups than downs long term. But using a sports quote from our friend Mike Tyson there, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face, right? And that's it. I felt like I got punched in my face several times. But in that, you know, I felt there was a ton of lessons to be learned. And for me, it's like, how quickly can I apply those lessons to improve next?
What would you say is that biggest hurdle that you ran into or something that knocked you down that you took something from?
Yeah, thinking that money was going to flow day one. You know, thankfully, and we also bootstrapped this thing 100%. And so I was fortunate to be in a place where I did fairly well with Forrester Research, and had a bunch of money saved for this venture. So I was able to always make payroll. So I pride myself on never faulting that, especially in the turbulent year one. But then things started clicking and things started turning around. Another tough lesson learned was like, man, there's a lot of sharks in the water. And being able to suss that out, I had issues with some former clients and former partners that I wish I would have sussed out early on about their DNA. But, you know, you learn that. And now I understand what the archetype looks like, and I can call that out ahead of time. So, yeah, it's a risky world out there, but it's fun. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Would you say that, because you had someone, you said like your former boss and mentor and first investor. I mean, that's pretty cool that someone took an interest in you and your career. You know, what advice was passed on to you that maybe you would want to pass on to the audience?
I would probably say if you're considering it, jump. Jump and be confident in how you'll land. And if you're and within your confidence, you know, there's probably some components like your network, obviously your product, your solution, your service. It likely will succeed, but it's going to take a ton of effort. And don't be scared of that. And look, it's not for everyone, and I get that, and I respect it. But if you're considering it, do it. And in the process, I personally feel like, especially in the services space, if you can bootstrap. Because personally for me, you know, there's a couple companies that I advise for and I help fundraise, and they're hating it right now because now they don't feel like it's their company anymore. They feel like they're an employee and they're reporting to someone who are their investors. right? And so while I think there's a bazillion use cases to take on funding and I support that, it's you got to kind of do an introspective and figure out what you want, desire, need the most, and then take it from there.
Awesome. So you are the, as we said early on, the inaugural committee chair for the Silicon Valley, San Francisco, Silicon Valley, Bay Area chapter, because we had to make sure to get all of them in there. And also working with me on growing out some of the initial membership committee, and growing some other chapters across the United States that are going to be kind of hyper local, so look out for those. What is it about community building that excites you?
Yeah, several things. I think first, just inherently, I'm a people person. I love learning about what makes other people tick. And then, as I previously mentioned, being that connectivity tissue and layer, and saying like, "Oh, Jason, you wanna stand up a chapter? I would love to help orchestrate that. What do we need to do?" Okay, first step one, stand up a committee. Okay, cool. We sent out that instrument, that survey instrument. We co-authored that, which is really fun. Thanks for allowing me to get in. And then from there, we let the data speak to us. And I've had a ton of really cool conversations with some people with like interests and like passions. And I think at the end of the day, to be a little self-serving, I like to understand how people are viewing the world as it pertains to DevOps or just personally. And then, specifically I'm partial, but out here, there's a lot of cool things going on every day. It's like, you can never stop learning, and taking in people's perspectives, I think helps me as an individual learn. And I feel bad for people that don't want to have that mindset of like, man, be a sponge, listen to everyone, take in perspective. It will make you way, way, way more well-rounded. And I think that's exciting for me. So the community building piece is a huge opportunity. And I'm full of gratitude for you picking me to do so.
Oh, please. Thank you for volunteering. I used to think continuous learning was like a buzzword, but I'm realizing the more that I speak to people on this podcast that it's a way of life. And you said something like, life is not linear. Your journey is not linear. It's going to bounce all over the place. And forgot who said it on the podcast, but it might have been Leo Murillo. He said that, it's taking advantage of the opportunity when it comes to you, and you might not know it at the time that it's an opportunity, and it may not seem like it. And it's like, how do you know that that's going to be the thing that takes you to your dream job or where you want to be in life? And you never know. And like he was talking about for his kids, actually, and we started waxing poetic about that, like for your own children, how do you tell them, oh, take this opportunity, even though it's going to be really hard. It's going to, invest now in Apple, right? 30 years ago, or go into coding 30 years ago when no one knew what that was. And, what's the next thing? I personally think it's the space program, but who knows, because we need to get off this planet as fast as possible. But I don't know. It's funny that you say it. A few people have said, it's, I wish I knew the answer.
to spin that back into entrepreneurship, I think what's fascinating is that I had no idea that this would even be an opportunity, but through entrepreneurship path, and then being involved in, of course, being the face of the band and co-architecting solutions and of course, pitching several different companies to earn their business. It's led to opportunities that were totally unforeseen to me. And that is several times these clients, we've been in their business, and these clients, they pull me aside and they'd say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this thing. I'll be leaving this company by X date, can I court you effectively, and can I show you what I'm working on? And that would lead to, here's my really cool product. I was totally seduced by you and your vision and your approach and your outlook. Would you consider being my co-founder? And the first time that happened to me, I was like, whoa, shit, that's not what I thought was going to come. About the product, you know, these would be like CTOs of companies or heads of products of companies. And that's kind of the Silicon Valley mindset. Everyone always has some sort of other hustle. It's just, you know, how can you manage it effectively and manage your time personally and professionally and make sure that your goal aligned and mission aligned to the long-term strategy. So that was something really, really exciting that popped up and spawned that I could have never predicted.
Yeah. Managing time. I think you just said like being able to manage that piece. That's my new mission right now, actually. That I'm on like a health kick because, you know, 19 months of a pandemic will do that to you where it's, gosh, I need to start focusing on, you know, some health, getting fit again. And then, yeah, managing time. If you could figure that one out, let me know, because that's my next goal.
I, you know, to weave between professional and like personal commitments, that one, that's the one I struggled with mightily early on. You know, I felt like I was taking my partner hostage at times, because I expected her to be in the foxhole with me and understand exactly why I'm doing this inside and out. But the reality was that was not fair, right? And my co-founder was very intentional on calling that out early on. It's like, Brandon, breathe, right? Like, you don't want to take a bunch of people hostage that care about you and love you, that are going to support you, and lose them in the process of trying to build a Kaeva. And that, I was like, oh shit, yeah, you're right. I need to scale back and learn, to your point, how to manage time.
Yeah, that's a good point about, you know, that's, or good advice, I should say, from your mentor. It's, what other advice do you have for someone who's like starting out in their journey?
Yeah. Look, you'll never have it all figured out. That's kind of the what's on the forefront. You'll never have it all figured out. Do your due diligence up front as much as possible. A/B test your message. Talk to friends, mentors, clients, anyone. Really test what you're trying to do ahead of time. But it will never be perfect. And so, as I mentioned previously, jump and see how you land, and I bet you'll fly. The way I viewed it, Jason, is worst case scenario, man, I can always go back to corporate job. I know I said I'm not a good corporate soldier, but if there ever came a time where I absolutely had to do that, I mean, right before I was standing up a Kaeva, like Accenture had an offer out to me. They wanted me to lead up growth in the Bay Area, like co-lead it. And I mean, you know, money was great and all that, but again, it didn't fit me right then and there. But I know I can always go back if I needed to. Mm-hmm. And that's cool, right? Like, that's everyone. Worst case scenario, guys, go back to the corporate job.
Right.
Calibrate. It's not, you don't lose. You won't lose as a founder. What you'll do is take all those lessons and learn from it and spin back out and refactor and be better.
Awesome. So this is the part of the show where I didn't ask you before we started recording the podcast, and this might be a mistake, but I always like to ask, what's one unique thing about you that nobody knows? Maybe you've never shared it publicly. And this is, I realize, a dangerous question to ask someone unprompted, but hey, let's do it anyway.
I'll keep it PG, Disney.
Yeah, page. Thank you.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say no one knows this, but the broad world certainly doesn't know this, but I am a licensed officiant in 4 states, and I've officiated 5 weddings.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Some people say they hiked the Himalayas. We actually had a few people who've hiked the Himalayas, which is so cool. Yeah, no, you're the first officiant, licensed officiant.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. So if you're looking for someone to marry you, very cool. Yeah, I'm trying to think here. If I feel like we've touched so much today on the podcast, and I really appreciate your coming on. What was your escape during the pandemic?
Oh, outside of an exorbitant amount of wine, So, yeah, I read a lot and I walked a ton. Like I was averaging, and I would encourage all folks on my team to, hey, let's do a step challenge monthly. And I would send out pride, like, I wanted to make people, their people's mental were uneasy, right? And I wanted to make sure that everyone knew we weren't going to lay off anyone. Everything was going to be good. We're going to tighten up the belt, but the ship's not going to sink. And so I would do a lot of culture things like, pack weeks where, people, engineers would build like really cool products that they made that served a really cool purpose. Others would be like, again, physical stuff and taking care of mental and physical health. So we do step challenges. And I would take, like, my play on it was I would take every single call that I was not presenting on the road, like walking. And so on average, I was averaging like 370,000 steps a month. And that helped me rationalize the amount of wine I was drinking, Jason. So I think they call it balance.
I was going to ask you, so what was your, because I'm doing that for myself right now. So yesterday I had 13,349 steps yesterday.
Nice.
So I'm trying to get up there myself.
Don't want to lie to you because I ran yesterday, but I had 17,502.
Right. Yeah, all right, you're fine. I'm not going anywhere. This is like I'm just like running in my house.
Great.
Because it's like 110 heat index here, so I'm not going outside anytime soon. You have nice weather there in Sanford. Well, except that things are on fire. I apologize. That's pretty bad, but yeah, when it's nice weather, you can get out there.
Out there and do it for sure.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast. It's always fun talking to you.
Pleasure's mine. Thanks so much for having me and look forward to seeing what we do out here with the Silicon Valley chapter and the membership committee broadly.
Absolutely. And if you are listening and you are interested in joining us in on the San Francisco chapter committee, just coming to an event and you want to learn more, shoot us an email at memberservices at devopsinstitute.com and we can hook you up. All right. Thanks again, Brandon.
There's going to be some crazy fun events, and I look forward to making it splashy. Thanks so much, Jason.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Pleasure.
And thank you for listening to this episode of the Humans of DevOps podcast. I'm going to end this one the same as I always do, encouraging you to become a premium member of DevOps Institute to get access to even more great resources just like this one. Until next time, stay safe, stay healthy, and most of all, stay human. Live long and prosper.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Humans of DevOps podcast. Don't forget to join our global community to get access to even more great resources like this. Until next time. Remember, you are part of something bigger than yourself. You belong.